This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings, and none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I'm bitter about not being invited to Kate's birthday party. I was never going to rock up anyway, let's face it.
Well, let's face it, it was set in Adelaide. So, but having said that, there was actually a Facebook group going that's, you know, posted flight details of, you know,
how you could get there.
Yeah. People coming from all over the world, Jade.
It's offensive. Why were you invited and I wasn't? I know you're more the party scene guy.
Well, it's who you know, Jade. But in any case, let's talk about Kate's party, because this has been one of the most exciting memes to come out of, say, the last month or so.
Yep.
And I feel that because it only just, it kind of started over the long weekend and it died very quickly. Like, I think it died sometime yesterday or the day before.
Yep.
So the thing with memes are that it just happens on the internet. It spreads like wildfire. It goes really viral. Everyone jumps on board and then
it's over.
It's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like on the internet. Mm-hmm. Things come and things go.
Everyone's got a short attention span.
Exactly. So there are lots of people out there that have heard of this Kate's birthday party thing on Facebook, but they're not quite sure what on earth it is. And people like yourself get quite offended because they feel like they're not in the loop and perhaps not invited.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just here to let you know, Jade, here's the latest about the party.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it from the start. So basically, sometime last week, a Facebook event was set up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called Kate's Birthday Party, and it's meant to look like this Adelaide woman's private party, except she kind of set the invitation on public. So that meant that everyone, and absolutely everyone, can invite anyone to a party. Yep.
Ooh.
I know. It's crazy because most of the time you put it as private when you're setting an event like
that's
that.
That's a bit crazy.
That is a bit crazy.
Someone's not understanding how to use Facebook.
That's the idea, right? So everyone was like, oh my God, look at this dumb girl.
Yeah.
Let's just say we're attending her event. So word started to really spread when this Australian humorist, and he's like an internet personality. His name's David Thorne, who runs this famous website called 27B/6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's known as an online prankster.
Yeah.
Okay. So word started to get around about Kate's party when he posted a link on his Twitter saying, "Yay, Kate's having a party in her small apartment. Hit attending and give the host an aneurysm." So within 10 minutes, 5,000 people have said they were attending.
Yeah.
Overnight, they had 60,000 people coming to Kate's little birthday party.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Kate changed the blurb on her Facebook invite saying, "WTF, why are all these people coming? This is a private event. I don't know who you are. How do I change this? Blah, blah, blah." So it sounded like she was really distressed.
Yeah.
Okay. And as a result of that getting so big, all these other related Facebook groups also sprung up. Like, who needs a ride to Kate's party? Like, it's actually a surprise party. Don't tell Kate. And this is my favorite. Which turban should I wear to Kate's? So basically, this spread like crazy in just a matter of days.
Yeah.
But Facebook shut it down, I think, sometime yesterday or the day before.
Aww.
I know. And then
Damn Facebook,
killing all the fun, because everyone would have rocked up on the 1st of May to this little apartment in Adelaide. So basically, sometime yesterday, word got out that David Thorne, who mm-hmm. was the guy I mentioned before, he was the guy who was actually behind the whole Kate's birthday party thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a hoax, Jade.
Okay.
There is no party. He just made it up just for a bit of fun and okay. just to see how quickly things can go viral on Facebook and just to see how quickly Facebook, you know, people, the Facebook gods would step in and shut it down. Mm. Mm. And he said he was actually quite impressed with how quickly they shut down the event. So, yeah.
Okay.
But look, don't be upset that you weren't invited or whatnot.
I guess now it's a hoax. I shouldn't be upset. Or maybe I should be more upset.
Yeah. The fact that everyone, like what, how many people?
I'm not even hoaxable.
You're not even hoaxable, Jade. What's going on? But you know what? What really surprised me was how quickly everyone jumped on board, Jade.
Yeah.
Like within minutes, everyone on Twitter was talking about Kate's birthday party. I'm like, is this something on TV?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they talk about Hey Hey, they talk about MasterChef. Yeah.
That's all we ever hear about is MasterChef.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there are other shows on TV as well. What about video hits?
I don't think they're on like 7 days a week like MasterChef is.
No. But so I thought Kate's birthday party was like a televisual reference, yeah. you see. But that's the thing with the internet. People jump on board and they go crazy.
It is quite bizarre that someone can suggest something and it then turns into this big viral thing.
I know. But the funny thing about memes was that how quickly merchandise start appearing.
Yeah.
There's always people out to make a quick buck out of these things.
Yeah.
There were T-shirts going saying, I went to Kate's party or, you know, that kind of sort. And I just find it really crazy that, you know, people are just – that you have to be so on the ball if you want to make money out of these kind of things. You have to pretty much be sitting on the internet all day, wait for a viral trend to set up, and then start doing your merch.
Isn't that what a good entrepreneur does?
Well, I don't
know. They just know how – what's happening and when.
Certainly challenges my mum's idea of a day job, but
– You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard.
Listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, so I'm going to admit I haven't spent a lot of time with Kate Nash.
Okay, but you were a fan of her first album.
Yeah, though. I was a fan of her first album. I mean, I really liked Foundations. I thought it was a good song, and that was obviously the hit single, I guess.
That was the
It went to like number two in the UK or something like that.
Yeah.
And I guess like she got quite popular on the back of, like, I know that there's a lot of comparisons between her and Lily Allen.
Mm.
I think that because it was kind of, and I can kind of see the similarities in a way, like they both kind of sing in this really sweet kind of voice, but they're singing about really kind of angry things at times, yep. and it's a bit like,
and they also have that kind of spoken word-ish, yeah, exactly. kind of style of singing,
and they've yeah. got, yeah, they're very kind of British as well, mm. or English or whatever, you know, they've got that kind of real, yeah,
they keep it real,
yeah, exactly. But this second album is called My Best Friend Is You. It came out last week. It was what I found really funny about it. Apparently, it was originally going to be called Crayon Full of Color, but fans said they had started complaining on her website saying that it was too similar to a single by Paolo Nutini.
Paolo Nutini,
yeah.
Okay.
In his song, he's got a song called Pencil Full of Lead, and I was just like, "What?" So you just changed the name of your album based on what your fans are saying.
To be honest, I prefer the title My Best Friend Is You over Crayon Full of Color.
Yeah.
Because Crayon Full of Color just it's not immediate. Whereas a statement like My Best Friend Is You, it almost has a needy feel to it.
I get that, you know, it's obviously a better name, but it just like...
The fact that she changed it because of fan response.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a sign of our times, I think.
I think so, because normally, like back in the old days, say maybe even 5-10 years ago, there would have been no way we would have had a say,
yeah.
as fans of, you know, what the album title's going to be.
And, you know, they weren't writing and saying, oh, that's a crap name. They basically said, oh, it's too similar to this guy's song, change it.
Yeah, and she took it on board.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the first single that was released from the album is called Do Wah Do. That's very indie, Dave, isn't it?
I know. I haven't even heard it, but I already know what it sounds like.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's one of my favourite tracks on the album. And apparently the second track is going to be either Paris, Kiss That Girl, or Later On.
Okay.
Like all of those songs, they're all very Kate Nash.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you're a fan of the first album, Made of Bricks.
Yeah.
Even though it's been 3 years since that album, there is somewhat of a continuity.
She's very... there's some interesting deviations on this album. Like, there's a track called I Just Love You More that is... It really sounds like a stalker gone crazy. Like, it's... There's all these bizarre sounds and screaming lyrics, and it's just, like, a bit like, what the hell is going on here? That one I was a bit like,
So she's getting more experimental,
yeah,
would you say?
It was pretty experimental. Later on, there's a track called Mansion Song that for the first half is basically this really angry spoken word track that's pure silence, except you can kind of hear in the background like an opera-sounding track.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, like any beat poet that, you know, some... It's sort of, it's really feminist in nature, like, you know, I'm an angry, powerful woman, like, you know, respect me.
I think I've heard her talk about Mansion Song before. I think she said that she wrote that when she was depressed or something.
And so it starts like that for half the track. And then later on, there's all these drum, jungle beat drum type things going, and then she kind of sings a bit. Mm. So it's quite an interesting, I didn't particularly like it, but... It's got so she's done some weird experimental things in there. My favorite tracks are the one I mentioned, Do I Do. I've Got a Secret I really like. Later on, an Early Christmas Present, which I'm actually going to play tonight.
So my quick question would be, as fans of, you see, Kate Nash is one of those artists that has Different Strokes appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I mean that, you know, the premise of the show being Jade loves her indie music. I love my trashy auto-tune pop,
mm-hmm.
like Sugar Babes last one.
That was really...
That was quite different. So for me to say that Kate Nash is a Different Strokes artist, that's a hell of a stamp of approval.
That is.
She appeals to both Jade and I. And what I want to know, because I haven't heard the album, Jade, is that...
I reckon it's probably a bit raw for you.
A bit raw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Culture. The attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group. Welcome to Different Strokes Culture, taking a look at society through the eyes of the camp and the geek.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we played a song. What was it?
That was Christina Milian, So Amazing. You were crumping.
Yeah, I was totally crumping.
You were crumping. You see, like 3 years ago when we first started doing the show, Jade would not elicit any sort of movement when I play up-tempo music.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's like showing me up in the corner of the studio.
The lines are graying, Dave, every day.
Ugh. The urge to merge.
Yeah, it's totally happening.
What's the point of our show?
I don't know. I mean, we might as well give up now. We're just the same strokes.
Same strokes. In any case, look, I read the funniest piece of news yesterday at work because everyone who knows me knows that I don't really work. In between calls at the call center, I'm browsing news websites. I'm browsing delisted.
And you do the most random searches too, which I find hilarious. Like, you'll just randomly Google something that just turns out to be great.
I know, because there will be moments where we'll get one call every 15 minutes and it will be like, I want to change my address. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, so now I just have all this time.
Mm-hmm.
So some days I'll just open up Wikipedia and just go, what do I want to learn about today? One day I just like Wikipedia Japanese ghost stories.
And where did you come up with that idea? That's what I find funny.
I look around the office. I don't know. Something springs to mind. And the other day I was Wikipediaing mangoes. Species of mangoes, mango trees, what climate you need to grow mangoes in.
Tropical?
Yeah, usually, Jade. I didn't need to Wikipedia that. So yesterday, though, when I was reading the news, I came across this, right? An Australian restaurant has been fined $1,500 after turning a blind customer away because they thought his guide dog was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Jolly, 57, was trying to enter the Thai Spice restaurant in Adelaide in May 2009 when he was refused entry. Staff misheard the woman Mr. Jolly was with and believed that his guide dog, Nudge, was in fact a gay dog. The staff genuinely believe that Nudge was an ordinary pet dog which had been de-sexed to become a gay dog, the owner said in a statement to the South Australian Equal Opportunity Tribunal. How can you mistake that?
What I kind of found funny about the story, it's quite common to hear about homosexuality in animals, but what I found really funny was the reason that they thought that the dog was gay was because it had been de-sexed and that made it gay. Like, that just sounds so funny. Well, it sounds so ridiculous.
I know, but if you think about it, if a dog's been de-sexed, he ain't getting no action anyway, gay or straight. So I thought it was just, I know it's a classic case of misunderstanding. Like, you know, maybe there was a language barrier involved, guide dog, gay dog. But still, don't refuse entry just because the dog's gay.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably gay people eating at your restaurant. You know, what difference is it?
Why would the dog... See, why would the dog be worth refusing entry? That's what I don't understand. It's a bit...
I think that's why it became such a big deal, because it could also be interpreted as they don't want a blind person to eat there. And this restaurant clearly displayed a sticker that said they would allow guide dogs as well. So it's not like they were discriminating against a blind person, but a gay guide dog.
Yeah.
I know. Which prompted me, though, Jade, to, because I have so much time at work.
Yeah, you Googled.
I Googled gay animals. And really, I mean, there's not enough said about gay animals out there.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the story about the gay penguins. Are you familiar with that?
No, I think it's been covered in a lot of TV shows, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's actually quite a famous story. Like in Central Park Zoo, which is in New York, a couple of years ago, these two male penguins started showing signs that they wanted to hatch an egg together. Because they didn't have an egg of their own, they were actually huddling around this little rock.
Yeah.
And like kind of keeping the... You know, kind of incubating the little rock and, you know, like as if it was an egg. So the zookeepers kind of thought, okay, what if we take one of the eggs from one of the other, opposite sex couple penguins that couldn't hatch it?
Yeah.
What if we take that egg and give it to the gay penguins? Let's see how it would work.
Yeah.
And it was a success. They hatched a little chick and, you know, it was all the rage. It was all over the news and, a lot of people jumped on and said, you know.
I know. I remember they covered it in an episode of Will and Grace as well, but I don't know if they specifically said that it was the same penguins, but I remember there was this big deal about they were going to separate the penguins or something because they were gay, and there was a storyline where Jack basically tried to stop this the separation of these two gay penguins.
It's funny you said that, Jade, because upon my Wikipedia discovery, the penguins have actually split.
Oh, really?
I know. It's terrible because the penguins split a year after, you know, they hatched the egg.
Mm-hmm.
One of the male penguins stayed single, whereas the other one went and hooked up with a female. I know.
Heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. I know. So that's you know, life in the... gay animal kingdom, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you hear about, because, I mean, arguments against homosexuality was always used because they would say, oh, there's no such thing as gay animals, so therefore you can't prove that homosexuality is natural because if there's no gay animals. But it's actually quite common.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.